With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And the band is back together. We are in the Bestseller on Dublin Southside with the beautiful Niall McGrath. How are you, sir?
I am good. Busy weekends.
Yes.
No drinking. I haven't had a drink since Thursday night.
You look fresh as a daisy, in fairness.
Yeah, my eyes are killing me. Just, you know yourself, the computer screens, Rexy. But no, I'm in good form, man. Good form. I'm delighted that we've had so much breaking news this week.
yeah. Big news as well, isn't it?
It's brilliant. It's great. And I think, you know, we've talked about this for God knows how long about in terms of the lightweight division. And we've had some really, you know, high quality fights. And the division is sort of nicely sorting itself out. So delighted. I'm over the moon, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of news. Obviously, the big things is obviously the return of Conor McGregor has finally been confirmed. And just a day apart, I believe, the Khabib and Tony fight being confirmed. This could be a huge year of business here for the UFC. This is the right way to get it started, isn't it?
Massive. Listen, and we often complain in the past about potentially them overloading cards. And I think they've spread this out nicely. There's no sort of really massively bumped up card where you're going to wait another 12 months to see a really, really good card. We need cards like this. We need these bigger names to put light on the other guys, the up-and-coming guys. And I think it'd be a great idea if the UFC, you know, if they got Sean O'Malley or someone like that back in action on one of these cards in a higher prominent position. And guys along those molds. So, listen, man, I can't stress how excited I am about Tony and Khabib, especially. I think we knew about Ferguson and Conor and Cerrone. That was always in the works after the UFC pulled the plug on Anthony Pettis. So it is. It's good news, and it's going to be an exciting 2019, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. 2020 even.
2020. Sorry.
They happen so quickly.
I don't even know what day of the week it is.
Yeah,
sorry. Mind the year.
I better go through these headlines very quickly now.
This is number one bullshit.
Conor McGregor v. Cowboy Cerrone will be going down on January 18th, as announced by Conor McGregor at a Russian press conference last month. Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson will get it on April 18th in Brooklyn. Fingers crossed. Tim Elliott v. Askar Askarov, also announced for that January 18th card. That's an unbelievable fight. Askar Askarov fought to a draw in his debut. Tim Elliott, of course, has fought Demetrius Johnson in the past. How about this one? Arnold Allen v. Josh Emmett going to fight at January 25th in Raleigh, North Carolina. Why would you do that so close to the London card? I mean, the London card is less than 2 months away from that. Arnold Allen should have been having a fight like this one against Josh Emmett there. Seems like they've put that in the wrong location for me. Would you agree?
Well, maybe not. Maybe they want to give an American platform because of his streak, and he's fought a lot in the UK. So maybe it's a different strategy, but hopefully they play the strategy. I would have liked him to be on the McGregor-Cerrone-esque card if they weren't going to do him in London.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, you know, what's going to headline or what is the headline of that fight card.
It's got to be
Carolina. So, yeah, that would have been the plan for me, and I just think it's a bit silly.
But yeah.
They might have a plan.
I hope they do. Luke Turner, who won that Euro Fight Night, and Andrew Fisher have earned Bellator contracts. That's from Simon Head at MMA Junkie. Interesting news there, because I just assumed Luke Turner got that contract the night he won that EFC. That was what that was meant to be about, no? That was meant to be the prize at stake.
I presume so, yeah.
Then why is it like
who knows?
Like 2 months later we're hearing about it? Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? The way those guys work.
Bellator announced a lot of new fights this morning. Aaron Chalmers v. Austin Clem, haven't heard of him. He is only a pro since October 2018. He's had 4 fights. He's 3-1. Also announced Will Fleury v. Justin Moore, Danny Nealon v. Kira Penko, Oliver Enkamp v. Lewis Long. I believe Richie Smullen has also been announced for a fight, as has Blaine O'Driscoll. I just have not wrote down the names of their opponents, unfortunately. I'm telling you, one thing I will say is, I think Enkamp and Long is a great fight. Obviously, there's a lot of Irish interest in these fights. But, you know, Aaron Chalmers is an interesting person, of course, in himself. James Gallery, Cal Eleanor is going to command some attention. But they haven't set the world on fire with them announcements for me. Like, there's no fire between these kind of opponents. We've never really heard them in the same conversation before or dialogue. Although there's still a lot of fights to put on this, I do hope that Bellator will start putting on the likes of Queeley and Bungard, fights that have a bit of fire to them.
Yeah, it's what we've gone back to, you know.
Dare I say Miles Price v. Kiefer Crosby, well, dare I say.
Go. Well, there you go, but it's what we're going back to and what we're talking about. You know, it seems as though there isn't a real, as you said, narrative or anything around these fights. And that's the disappointing thing for me that, you know, obviously James and Carl is going to sell, you know, the eyes are going to be on Aaron Chalmers again, but
outside of that,
yeah, you're going, like, what is really here for these guys to form a plan?
I think you got to make the Queeley Bungard fight. Queeley's invested 6 months into that building that fight. I mean, it came out of nowhere, but now there's definitely an appetite for
Look at the social media stuff they had for so long, and they missed the boat in Shipman and Edwards to a certain extent.
Yeah. They pulled it off, but by the skin of their teeth,
yes,
you know?
And that was probably the fighters. More so, because they're angry bastards.
But Queeley's invested a lot in that. Bungard's had a few quotables there from it. Got to make the fight. I think if Kiefer doesn't fight Miles this time around, it's gone. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be on fumes.
Do it.
I'm already not meant to be talking about that one, so we'll quickly move on to it.
There you go.
No, I'm only messing because Kiefer gave out to me the last time I asked him. But how about a big fight for Paul Redmond as well? Reds are, like, I mean, look, I mean, last year we were talking about this guy's the best fighter in Ireland. I think if anyone deserves a big fight,
Did the press release say Chalmers was coming?
No, it just said he was main character.
Well, then that's a no-brainer that you put Paul Redmond co-main and give him a good spot. He's a big, big draw. One of the most decorated Irish mixed martial artists.
Bring over Roger Huerta and let's have a dance.
Let's do it. Like, why not? Why not? Give Paul his dues. He'll put a good performance on, as he always does. Brings a crowd in. Puts eyes, you know, on the cage here in Ireland. And that's what they want. And listen, Paul's a guy who deserves that as well. So I'm 100% down with that.
Yeah, and yeah, just to see this one jumped out at me as well. Alexander K. Lee, the great, the badass of MMA fighting, he has released an article with your good friend Duke Rufus. I don't know if you saw this, about Dan Hardy wanting to return against Anthony Pettis. That's a big fight. It'd be a huge fight for London.
Yeah, no, it would. Listen, how many times have we heard this from Dan, though, about him returning and then, you know, something's, you know, happened where
it hasn't come to
fruition. So I don't know about that. I don't know if Pettis would have much interest in that. Pettis obviously was supposed to fight Cowboy. The UFC pulled that because Cowboy's going to be fighting Connor. So
what?
So that's, you know, I take that with a pinch of salt. From, you know, I'm sure that Hardy is interested, but I'm not sure Camp Rufus will be too down on that.
Here, I just want to say fair play to Dan Hardy for going after a fight like that. Like, I mean, it wasn't so long ago that people were saying he should entertain the Mickey Gall fight. To go in against Anthony Pettis is outrageous, man.
Yeah, it is outrageous, but it would. Listen, we don't know where Dan's at in his career, how good he would really be if he made a comeback. Interest levels for me, well.
Oh, yeah, I think that would be a great fight for London. Honestly, I do. I think that'd be a big fight.
There'd be deadly eyes on it, but I just don't know.
Imagine he goes in and beats Pettis.
I feel uncomfortable watching Dan come back.
Would you?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because he's been out for so long.
I don't know.
It turned a bit of a freak show, like some of the Bellator fights.
Oh my God, how dare you? How dare you?
It must be 5 years, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I feel like he's always trained. It was an issue. It wasn't to do with his taking damage from fighting, essentially, is why he stopped.
Peter Carroll and Hardy. You haven't been in there in a while.
He's not ready for that, man.
Nah,
he's
all right,
not
ready. Fair enough.
First final one here. Nordin Talib says his next fight will be his last. You know, it kind of flew under the radar there, but how good would it be to see Nordin Talib, his last fight ever being the UFC's first fight card in France?
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea.
Against Paul Pogba or someone like that. Who's he minding these days? Neymar?
We'll get him an Ixer, don't worry.
Why not? Why not? I'm sure France is in their, you know, quarterly EMEA program next year, so I'd imagine they'll be doing something there. And yeah, listen, why not? Go out with a bang in his native France.
Yeah, I mean, he's put on some great fights over the years, you know. He really has. He's got some serious knockouts. Eric Silva, Danny Roberts.
Yeah.
He folded up a few lads, but I think he's just one in his last four wins.
Yeah.
So maybe it's time. Just to have a little chat here about the whole notion of McGregor returning. I have a few talking points for you to help me get through here, Noel. I'm happy that it's Cerrone because I was worried that it would be Frankie Edgar. That's just, honestly, look, I know that Frankie's a legendary fighter,
a brilliant
guy across many divisions, but for Conor to match with Edgar, after Edgar announced that he's going to bantamweight, and now to see this fight being announced at welterweight, that would have been a crazy fight to make.
Well, Frankie was always, for me, and this is the greatest respect to Frankie, I'm one of his biggest fans and admirers ever. I've loved watching the guy over the years. Frankie was being used, if Conor could have got that fight, as a potential statement.
Mm.
That's how I look at it, and that's, you know, people might find that disrespect to Frankie, but Frankie isn't the same fighter he was a number of years ago. And I think Conor, in terms of size, would have gone through him. I think Cowboy is a much... not tougher matchup. I'm saying it's where we want to see Conor. You know, at 155, at 170. I'm not sure.
He's more or less there, thereabouts. You know,
it's probably just a weight issue between the two of them, and they've said, "Fuck it, let's throw down 170." But I do like the Cowboy fight. I think it's a lot more open. Maybe a lot more. Is it more competitive? How do you feel about?
Yeah, I feel like it's more competitive. Cerrone's fought couple of the best guys at lightweight in his last two fights, even though he's lost. I mean, he was in there with the best guys. I think the 170 thing is more to go along with his route back to that Khabib fight. If you remember at that Russian press conference, he said he was going to fight one fight in January. That's obviously against Cerrone at 170 now. And then he was going to go and try and fight the winner of the BMF title, who is now Jorge Masvidal. Yeah. That's also a 170 fight. And then he'll go down to 155 to fight Khabib. So I just guess it's kind of a strategic plan. It makes more sense to rather than go from 155 up to 170 and then back to 155. He's going to go 170, 170, 155.
Do we look at the outcome of the Cowboy fight, the way, you know, Cowboy fights, the way Conor fights? Do we look at this as like maybe Darren Till against Cowboy in terms of striking? Because
the size difference won't be the same, but like I feel like it's a winnable fight. But it still stays in the realm of being a competitive fight.
Yeah.
You know, it's the most competitive fight. It's not the most competitive fight, but it is still competitive.
There's permutations on the outcome of the results. Yeah, I do. I agree with that. And listen, I'm excited for it.
But if he doesn't beat Cerrone, it's very bad news.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, where do you go from here? Like, let's be honest.
Like there goes the three-prong plan. Like, I mean, if you can't get boys Cerrone, you're done.
But one thing
I think that Conor will be thinking about in terms of this matchup is the fact that Cerrone didn't have the mental fiber for a long time. You know, for the very, very top, for the very, very biggest fights, for the fights just before the title, he always fell.
Yeah, I was at the Rafael dos Anjos fight before, and even said it. You know, he
McGregor, whether you like him or not, at the height of his power, was one of the most mentally resilient fighters.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched the man hobble around a mansion for a month before he went and beat up Mendez that time. He's unbelievably mentally strong at his best.
Well, I think that's the major issue going to be going into this. How is he going to bounce back from being in the spotlight? And let's be honest, he's not a very light human being at the moment.
Well, how many times have I said it? Sport heals.
It does heal.
From all you got to do is win. Sports fans are fickle. I'm not saying that everybody will do a 180 if he beats Cerrone, but...
No, I don't think. I think the American audience are the ones that he'll probably gain more
traction back with,
instead of being here in Ireland. But I think that's a massive, massive interesting factor and thing to watch out for heading up to this fight is how he responds to it and how he copes with that pressure. Because it's going to be totally different. We've never seen this before. We've seen a Conor McGregor who's been loved by his fans, and it's not going to be that way. Certainly not.
I feel like this is more likely to see him looking good in this fight because it's going to be fought in his wheelhouse to more of an extent than the Khabib one. I mean, if you listen back to all the criticisms Conor made of his camp, it was all about the fact that he didn't spend enough time striking, doing what he was best at. I think a fight with Cerrone, you've got to be prepared for a striking contest there. So I do feel as though this is a fight where he can look better than he did against Khabib.
I am worried from what he said in that obviously interview with Ariel Helwani about, there seemed to be a lot of resentment towards John Kavanagh and healing their relationship and some of the words that he said there. I'm quite worried about that for him in fight camp as well. You know, that's something that has to be cleared.
I think it is. Like, I mean, I feel like every time John's been asked now, he said he would be back, and there was a while there where he goes, he'd say something like, I haven't heard anything different, I haven't heard anything of the contrary. So I think him saying, yes, I'm going to be there, is a lot more solid. From what I've heard, Owen Roddy will be in the camp. I saw an interview that popped up with him just 2 weeks ago with Farah from MMA Junkie, where he said he'd be there. So yeah, I'm sure there probably was a big kind of sit down and a chat about it, but I don't think we'll hear too much about that.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I'm sure we won't. Yeah.
But they've got to learn lessons from that last camp. If that it was that far away from what he wanted, they've got to learn lessons.
Yeah, well, that's why you know, in terms of maybe going down that route again, I would have looked differently, and I've said it openly in the past. But listen, who am I to question where he goes?
I guess, yeah. I guess it's, yeah. I mean, it was obviously an option as well, but I just don't think he wants to leave Ireland.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Young family.
This is one thing that I noticed since this fight has been announced. Obviously, Leon had already said that he wanted to fight Tyron Woodley on the co-main event of that card. Darren Till has also come out and said he wants to fight the co-main event. We've already potentially lost Arnold Allen because of that Josh Emma fight. If either of those fights goes as the co-main of that, it's going to have serious ramifications on the UFC London.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as soon as UFC London was announced, those are the two fights people were saying. Till v. Whittaker, Leon v. Woodley.
Well, I think if they don't do one of them, they're going to get a big backlash from the
fans.
Oh,
yeah, they got to do one,
backlash,
at least.
And especially after the
card. I think it would be very wishful thinking to get two of them, you know?
Yeah, but I think after the card last year as well, where people were quite excited about the matchups, you know, all the matchups on paper were real competitive fights, and the card wasn't as amazing as maybe it could have been in terms of the matchups themselves.
But they have been getting better. They have been getting better.
But they're expecting that.
Yeah.
That's what they want. If they don't get that, there's going to be uproar. So expect a backlash, UFC, if you don't make those fights. And I love Leon's tweet there yesterday. I will be world champion in 2020.
Yeah, he's...
Listen, man, how do you say he won't be from what he's done?
He looks great, man. He's just very... Great kind of mentality for this whole game as well. He doesn't really seem to get too worked up about things. Sometimes I'm more worked up about a situation than he is, I think. But... Just finally, I want to, you know, dare we speak of it, Khabib v. Tony.
Oh,
is this, what's bigger? For us, I think Khabib v. Tony, right? The diehard fans are going to, they want Khabib v. Tony. But when you think about the sport, you think about the UFC, it's more important that McGregor's coming back for them.
Is it?
For UFC?
Is it anymore? Ooh. Khabib is a big, big star, man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But you know, I mean, the pay-per-view boys from his last fight to his fight with Conor is...
Yeah.
Significant.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm sure it is. And it's in terms of the matchup. But I think a lot of people even know who Tony Ferguson is now, just since the build up over the last couple of years. And I think, man, you know, I don't want to curse again. I'm probably not going to go this time because I found out when I was out in the piss the Saturday beforehand, I went over that Tony was out. I was absolutely devastated. It's a fight for the ages. It's one of those ones, man, we've been looking forward to for, I don't know, God knows how long, the four times it's fell out previous. But. In terms of numbers, man, you've got to look into what Conor's done in the last number of months as well. He's gone over to Russia. Why has he gone there? You know, there's a reason behind this, because Khabib is the man at the moment. So it is going to be fascinating. And Tony Ferguson's been thrown in the mix in the last year as well in terms of the social media attraction and things like that. It's all fascinating, but I'm going to have to go with Tony.
Wow. Well, I was just gonna close this conversation.
No, let's do
quick predictions now for both of those fights, and then we'll do it. The week that they fight again. Right, so you're going Tony.
I'm going Tony, late sub, fourth, fifth round. And someone actually agreed with me there, put out a poll who they reckon the early money's on it. And actually, to be honest with you, mate, a lot of people are picking Ferguson. I think it was 50. I'll tell you exactly now. It's right here.
There are going to be a lot of unhappy people on April 18th because it's Khabib for me.
Whoa.
Khabib's just going to decision him.
53% of people.
Right, but more importantly, right, so I'm going Khabib, you're going Tony.
Yeah.
Does it actually happen this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I tell you, another really interesting build-up to this fight. That fight, man, we've had two and two. Two guys have pulled out both four times. Imagine what they're going to be thinking in the final week of that fight and how they're going to control those nerves, the anxiety. Is this going to happen? Because it's been put together five times now, and so 80% fail rate. It's mental.
Keeping them as far away from tiramisu as you possibly can.
And TV studios as well. And
sunglasses, no way.
But, man, that is, I think, fascinating how those lads are going to deal. And I think we're in for a sensational fight week and build up to that card, if it happens.
Conor v. Cerrone, who wins?
Conor.
Yeah, I'm
stalks him down. I think it's going to turn out a lot like Darren Till fighting in terms of the stand-up. I can see,
and he's just got to. There's not, like, as I said when he was fighting Khabib, there's no shame in me fighting losing to the best guy in the world.
And I don't think even a decision. I think he has to go out.
Oh, he probably has to stop him. Yeah,
he has to stop him. I don't think a decision.
I don't think he's going to look good if it goes five rounds. To be honest,
no, he won't. Yeah. He won't. Because listen, Cowboys. You know, I've sort of questioned them as well over the last year. You know, really, is he in there for the right reasons?
Please, no more losses? Bottles of Proper 12 beside cans of Budweiser.
Yeah, I don't want to see that shite either. So, yeah, I'm interested. I am going to go with Connor, though. I think he'll have enough to finish Cowboy within 2 to 3 rounds.
It wasn't a very action-packed week last week in MMA, apart from, like, really all those announcements were the main events of the shows, because there was no fucking main events and there was no shows. But it was nice to have a weekend off as well. Wouldn't you agree, Noel?
Yeah. We'll talk about it later on.
Yeah, I mean, it was the only thing really worth talking about last weekend was Polaris and Wales, and quite an all-star cast they drew out. I was watching the Raptors video coverage of the Rockhill bout there against Nick Rodriguez. Unfortunately, wasn't a good night for the MMA charges. Marcin Held, Gilbert Burns, and Luke Rockhold all leaving with losses. Michelle Nicolini from ONE Championship got a win, one of the best in the world, of course. But yeah, we really don't have a lot to talk about. So yeah,
there was nothing on.
But we'll get on to our second interview of the day. It's with KSW middleweight champion Scott Ascombe. And I felt this was a really, really great interview from Scott, because you can tell that there's a lot of, you know, although he's extremely happy with KSW, it feels as though there will be a lot of options opening up to him. Like, I mean, a 4-fight win streak, yeah, since he left the UFC. He's devastated all the Polish guys in the KSW ranks. He's fighting the king of all the middleweights in Europe, Mr. Mamed Khalidov, this weekend. And you know, after that, where do you go?
With London asking? Coming up as well.
Yeah, well, UFC London, yeah. I mean, I did ask him about his contract. He didn't want to get into that, which is understandable. A lot of fighters don't like talking about that stuff. I doubt that it's going to be next fight situation where he can go anywhere. I doubt that it's, like, you know, that he really even wants to go anywhere else at the moment. But we're gonna chat to Scott here ahead of that big fight with Mamed Khalidov, which is one of the biggest fights of the weekend, without a doubt. So we'll be back in about 15 minutes, and then we'll break down the KSW card, and of course the UFC Washington DC card. So see you in about 15. As advertised, we are now joined by KSW middleweight champion, the resurgent Scott Ascombe, who has finally got the fight he has been waiting for under the KSW banner against the legendary Mamed Khalidov, who he takes on in the main event this weekend in Gliwice, Poland. Scott, this is the one that seems to have gotten away from you at one stage, but now it's finally happening. How good does it feel? This is a huge, huge fight.
Yeah, he said sneak away from me. I can remember actually doing an interview when he lost to Narkun the first time. And I said it looks like he's going to have two losses in a row. But he managed to get the rematch, so that fight never materialised. And then he retired, so I thought it was done with. But I kept hearing people say that he's still training and stuff, so I didn't totally believe that he'd retired, you know what I mean? So that's why I gave him the call out after the last fight. I expected it to be for the belt. Obviously, I came and took the belt. He was the champion. But for whatever reason, he don't want to challenge for the belt. I'm not focusing too much on that. I've got my thoughts on that. He'll have his thoughts on that. But it's not for belt. That's not my decision. So here we are. It's a 3-round main event. And excited to be a part of it.
You mentioned there about the belt. I know. You said you have theories why he didn't want it. I mean, is it for you? Is it the 5-round thing that annoys you, would you have preferred 5 rounds? Or, I mean, or is it just the whole idea of defending the title that you've won that he has formerly held? What is it for you that's kind of that is most disappointing about not fighting for the belt?
Yeah, well, the main reason I don't think he wanted it is because he didn't want 5 rounds. He said that he said in interviews that he didn't want to feel the pressure to defend a title if he won, but he never defended a title anyway. He had more catchweight fights than anybody I've ever known. I don't think he ever defended it. Like, I think it was like 2016 last time he defended it. So It can come without excuses. I think 5 rounds suits me. I think he knows that. It definitely doesn't suit him. But it is what it is. I've got the fight I wanted. It's over 3 rounds, and I don't know. It always leaves a door open for the rematch for the title as well, doesn't it? So it don't put me in a bad position. Obviously, Khalidov's the star. We all know that he's the guy. Let's say that, I mean, in the division that everybody wants to fight. So I've got my opportunity, and I am.
Yeah, look, I mean, where do you rate Khalidov? Because I hear, like, I mean, he is a legend, a European fighting legend, a guy who many people feel is probably in that conversation to be one of the greatest fighters who never fought in the UFC. I know a lot of European fighters had their eyes on this guy over the years. Maybe in the early dawn when we didn't have such an influx of European, UK and Irish guys into the UFC. But were you aware of Khalidov's career for a long time, Scott? Like, I mean, how do you view him in terms of challenges you've taken? Like, is this one of the biggest fights of your life so far, would you say?
Yeah, on paper, I definitely think it's the biggest fight of my career so far. But I say that about all the fights, you know what I mean? Like, as each fight comes, I feel like it's the biggest fight of my career. They're all big moments, you know what I mean? You're fighting for your life in there every time you get in, you know what I mean? So they're all big fights. But yeah, Khalidov's got some big names on his resume. He's definitely the biggest star in Europe that's never been signed to the UFC. The only person I can think who's bigger who never went to the UFC is
Fedor.
He's always in them conversations. I've looked at guys he's beat. Obviously, I've seen some of the guys he's beat. I can see why he's got that status, do you know what I mean? But make no mistake about it, I've said it's my time, and it really is. I'm coming in here riding a four-fight win streak. My last three fights, I've finished them all. So how can you not be confident, do you know what I mean? But I'm not underestimating nobody. I've just got total belief in myself. Where I am mentally, the gym I'm at and everything, it just... I feel like it's time to make a statement that I won't cut too early from the UFC. Do you know what I mean? Ultimately, I know I had to win. Do you know what I mean? I had to win them fights, and I didn't win in the UFC. And I'm not bitter about getting cut. It's my own fault for not winning. But when I did get cut, I'd lost the split decision.
Brad Scott.
And I lost the split decision. Yeah, to Bradley Scott when I'd. My first fight at ATT, do you know what I mean? In that fight, it was the most significant strikes I'd landed in all the UFC fights. So the changes were starting to be seen, do you know what I mean? And they know that I won antibiotics because I fought with staff, do you know what I mean? Like, that is the only fight I wore Valley Judo shorts. I wore Valley Judo shorts to cover the staff. Like, but it is what it is. I got cut, and I've had great opportunities since leaving the UFC, do you know what I mean? And... The momentum just kept going and getting bigger and bigger, and the ball's still rolling, and make no doubt about it, Saturday night I'll continue to roll as well.
Yeah, you know, 100%. I agree with absolutely everything you said. I remember a lot of people being up in arms when you were cut from the UFC, and really, to be honest, Scott, your performances so far under the KSW banner have completely highlighted your claim and underlined it. You know, with three, as you said, three stoppage wins in a row now. You had them two beautiful kicks to the body, the flying knee against Matera the last time out. That just has me thinking, right? When I'm looking at all the bodies you're stacking up here, and if Mamed Khalidov joins that list of bodies that you've stacked up, where does that leave you in this division? Because you've essentially cleared it out, right? Like, I mean, that is the only, like, as you say, it does leave the possibility of the title fight open again, because the title fight isn't on this time. But if you beat Khalidov, you've effectively beaten every worthy middleweight they have to offer there, right?
Yeah, I'm sat here now with a big smile on my face, just thinking about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, like you say, if I take Khalidov out, do you know what I mean? Like TKO. I've looked at this guy's record. He's not been TKO since like 2004. Do you know what I mean?
Jesus.
Like, I was still watching MMA on Bravo back then. I wasn't even training MMA. Do you know what I mean? This guy's been around a long time, but honestly, my style now. If you watch my style now compared to the UFC, it's just a totally different style of fighting. Like Steve Bruno's he's made me a volume striker. He's made me believe in myself. He's made me a killer. And I'm also happy about my last fight when I won the title, how that actually went. You know what I mean? Because people got to see a bit more of my old game, do you know what I mean? Like, well, putting strikes together and everything, even my ground game, do you know what I mean? I feel I'm a complete fighter now, and fighting me over 3 rounds or 5 rounds is going to be dangerous, do you know what I mean? I feel like I've got a style that does win rounds. I've also got a style that does take people out as well. And I feel like I'm getting them TKOs more because I'm not actually looking for them. I'm not looking to land with mass power in each shot, do you know what I mean? But when they keep adding up, it takes away that gas, and it also wears and tears on you. And I feel like in that last fight, it showed that. And ultimately, I got the finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy impressive to see what you're doing, man. I mean, it's amazing to watch you these days. You look fantastic. I feel like a lot of people will favor you going into this fight, despite the fact that Mamed is the legend that he is. But, I mean, what we talked about there, like, I mean, if you do stop him, as you plan to, I'm sure. I mean, the fact that he's just been up there fighting Narcoon, like, you're not a small person by any means. You're not a small middleweight. You're a very big dude. Would that ever appeal to you to move up and maybe fight Narcoon or someone like that? I know your good friend Phil DeFries had great success against him. But again, Phil is, a few echelons up on the size scale again, you know? So where would you kind of see that fight?
Yeah, like, and Narco moved up to heavyweight for that fight, and I'm sure he weighed in at like 240. I mean, Narco's a big guy. Yeah. He's a big fucking dude. I mean, I've stood at side of him. He's a big dude. Ultimately, I'll sit down with my management, and I'm sure we'll make the right decisions. But for now, I'm a middleweight. When I fought Luke Barnett, he was trying to get me to fight at light heavyweight. But I told him I'm a middleweight. I'll fight all my career at middleweight. But money talks ultimately, do you know what I mean? So let's get this win, let's say, and then we'll take it from there. But I would never rule it out. I think being a two-weight champion would be a massive achievement, especially against a champion like Narcoon. He's been unstoppable at that light heavyweight division, and it brings a different some different problems to solve as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm just wondering, I mean, I don't know if this is something that you can disclose, Scott, but I mean, do you have many fights left on your current deal with KSW? I mean, does it automatically go up if you become a champion and you hold a belt? Does that add fights to your contract, or what's the situation there?
Like you say, I don't really know myself what I can and can't say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to say anything I shouldn't, but ultimately, I'm happy at KSW, do you know what I mean? I'm happy here. I would like to think that I'll end my career here. I'll say that openly, but I wouldn't ever close any doors either, do you know what I mean? This is prize fighting. I want to make as much money as I can before I retire. So I'm always open to offers, do you know what I mean? I've said this to KSW, and I'm sure they're aware, but I am more than happy to end my career here, and I would imagine that's what I'll do.
Amazing, yeah. And look, they've been fantastic, and I feel like they've built you into this situation you're in fantastically well. You look amazing there. But I mean, just because you said it earlier, and because so many people say it, they say this is not the Scott Askham that was in the UFC. He is a completely different animal now. He's a completely different fighter. And every time you put on one of these performances, you can see people fantasy matchmaking in their head. Like, what if he went in there against this guy from the UFC? Is there still a part of you, because it maybe didn't go the way you wanted it to go the first time, and as you say, you've changed so much as a fighter from then, is there any part of you that would love the opportunity to go back there, or is that something you've just closed the book on that chapter?
No, like, I haven't closed no book, do you know what I mean? Like,
yes, yes.
Like I said, I'd happily end my career at KSW, but that is pretty much like what you've just said, correct, do you know what I mean? Like, there's a part of my mind that I always want to prove to myself, do you know what I mean? But I don't know. It'd have to be the right time for me, but for now, I'm focused on KSW and what they're doing. But who knows in the future? Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah. I know. I'm not trying to put you in a tough position, but I know what you mean. You don't want to.
I understand what you're trying to say. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's like the UFC didn't go my way, that I've got a lot of opportunities because of being a UFC fighter, you know what I mean? So I've got no regrets towards the UFC and what happened there, them cutting me and stuff. I understand myself that I was supposed to win. But I feel like because I was a UFC fighter, that's led me down a good path. And I'm just rolling with an enjoying journey, basically. I'm happy where I'm at, and I'd gladly end my career here.
It's an amazing.
Not to remember now, I'm getting a bit long in tooth as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm 31 years old.
Like, you're not that old, like, Scott.
I know when you compare it to people like Mohamed, do you know what I mean? He's not old, but look at people who are fighting now. Loads of people are younger than me, and like, I'm not saying I'm ancient or anything, but fucking, you've got to start thinking towards the end of your career, haven't you? Do you know what I mean? Like, it does become a point where you think, right, how many more fights have I got left? Do you know what I mean? I'm already thinking that. When I first started fighting, I thought 38 were a good age. Do you know what I mean? I still think that's a good age to end my career. That's only 7 years away. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm over halfway through my career. My professional career now, let's say, do you know what I mean? So, fuck knows. I don't even know where I'm going right now. I don't even know where I'm going with this conversation.
No, I understand what you mean. I do, and it's probably a good thing that you are thinking like that already. But it's been an amazing story, right? That's just final question. You know, you, Phil DeFreeze, you also have Norman Park winning the interim title there the last time around. This kind of a few UK guys going in there and absolutely taking these Polish stars to task. It's been amazing to watch. Is it a good to be part of that? I mean, I feel like the UK numbers are bigging up every time when guys like you or Phil compete, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. I see some comments on Instagram, and I don't get into it too much when I see them. Like I see some people, the fans saying, all these guys are coming in from the UFC and taking these Polish guys out. But they're forgetting that the UFC fighters that some of their Polish stars have beat. You know what I mean? Yes. Like look at Matilda, for example. He beat Usman Palares, Paulo Thiago, Kendall Grove. Like, it beat some massive stars who came from UFC. You know what I mean? We're just having big success over there. And Norman, to be fair, had success in the UFC. He had an amazing record in UFC. Me and Phil, not so much, but Phil battling his own demons, and he's got that under control. And obviously, my move to ATT's made that story for me. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm just happy to be involved in these conversations and enjoying the ride, let's say.
Yeah, it's amazing, Scott, and it's been amazing to watch you, of course, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show again. I really can't wait for this fight. It's a huge, huge fight for European MMA, and I hope you can put on another stellar showcase, as you have been ever since you first walked into that KSW cage, Scott. Thank you so much again.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All the best, man. Talk to you after the fight.
Yeah, we'll speak after the fight. Nice one. Thanks a lot, man.
Bye-bye.
See you, mate.
And it was great to speak to Scott Askham, and we'll be looking at that KSW 52 card in just a few minutes. But first, we have to have a look at this Overeem v. Rosenstruck card. What do you think, Niall? First kind of look at the card here. What do you reckon?
I think it's not bad. It's one of their better sort of fight night cards. I think it's more name heavy than actually matchup heavy. There's a lot of people there. You can obviously look out for Aspen Ladd coming off that Holly Holm debacle. You've Cody Stamm, and then you've Ricky Simone.
Isn't that the Jermaine Durandamy fight that Aspen Ladd's coming off the knockout?
Sorry, that one. The dodgy decision.
Not a dodgy decision. You got knocked out.
yeah, but it was a bit.
I don't think so. No? But
all right, fair enough.
But still, I get it's a big fight for Aspen. I can only imagine that you're going to be delighted to see Stefan Struve stepping out of retirement to face Ben Rothwell.
Stop.
And was he previously retired also, Ben Rothwell?
No, Ben was sort of just
sidelined by USADA.
Yeah, exactly. So Ben's back up. Actually, he's training in Rufus Sport a fair bit as well, so that's going to be interesting to see. Listen, Stefan, I'm not mad on that. Ricky Simone, it's going to be interesting to see him bounce back as well, if he can. There's some good fights. Thiago Alves, Tim Means, that's a bit of a barn burner.
Yeah, it is actually, but let's, most importantly, from a European point of view, the main event here, Alistair Overeem and Jairzinho Rosenstruck. obviously it was supposed to be Walt Harrison, who tragically has lost his daughter.
Yeah, condolences as well.
Oh, absolutely. A horrific story. Absolutely awful. One of the big tragedies in the sport this year. Horrible, horrible situation there altogether. Lucky that Jairzinho could step in and take this opportunity. But, you know, this should be a pretty spectacular main event based on what Jairzinho has been doing in the UFC and, of course, Alistair Overeem's unbelievable striking accolades over the years.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. And I think it is. It's going to be the first real test for him. Obviously, he's 3-0 in the UFC. I think, 9-0 in his career. But it is, let's be honest, man. He fought Andrei Arlovsky, and I don't want to keep harping on about Andrei Arlovsky, but, like...
You love him, man.
This is a proper test, and...
What do you mean?
Like, come on. Stop it.
Stop it.
Arlovsky should have possibly called it a day.
Whoa.
But listen, when you're facing a guy like Alistair Overeem and you really haven't faced that level of opposition in your mixed martial arts career, I think it's going to be tough. He's a very, very tough
fighter. Sergei Pavlovich, right?
There you go. Exactly, yeah. You know, he came in on...
And he's great. Looks like a great fighter.
Looks like a great fighter. But listen, I think Overeem's going to have the tools there. He's impressed me in his last two outings as well. Obviously against Olenek as well. That win. Alistair's a beast, man. And he's a very, very tough guy to read. And I think this is going to be a major, major problem for the Aruban here coming in and trying to work out Overeem. I think Overeem's just going to be able to pick him off. And I think he's done that.
And he's underestimated on the ground as well. Like, sometimes you can just take lads down and say,
yeah,
good luck.
Sure, he topped out Stipe Miocic.
Absolutely.
StipeTap.com. Look at in the replay. Yeah, Rogan's got, oh, that's one of the greatest moments ever. It's underappreciated as a mixed martial arts moment.
Calvillo v. Marina Rodriguez there in the co-main event. But Struve v. Rotwell, I mean, what if Struve does win here from a European perspective? I mean, he's right back up in the... His arse is right back in the butcher's block, really, if you're a heavyweight, right? And you just bet Ben Rotwell, you're probably going to get a very stringent test after that.
Yeah, but butcher's block, quite literally, because he's not winning a title or coming anywhere near winning a title anytime soon or ever, in fact.
We don't know how much he's evolved since the last time we saw him.
Listen, Peter, just shut up. I think it'll be a good fight. I do fancy Ben Rotwell. I think Ben's boxing a lot crisper than Stefan Struve's. And... I'm not really excited about it. I'm not going to lie, as you probably heard in my voice. But there is some good fights on the card. But I'm obviously most notably looking forward to Alistair Overeem. And I'm seeing as well what Rosenstruck really is. If he can live up to it. But I am going to pick Overeem. Like, I don't
I've
see
gotta
how
pick
you,
Overeem.
You can't pick against him.
Just on Kunitskaya versus Ladd.
Good fight.
Kunitskaya is on a 2-fight win streak. I don't expect it to cause Ladd much problems, but I believe that she's probably facing Ladd in the best time she could have asked for coming off that loss to Durandamy, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think...
If it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now.
Yeah, and I think Aspen has said she's conquered these weight issue problems as well. That's going to be really interesting to see this week because, you know, we've had some hairy moments with Aspen getting on the scales. And yeah, it probably is a good time to see where she is at mentally, if she's that bounce-back ability. I think she does. I think she's a strong, young female fighter and someone we could potentially be a world champion in the coming years. She's that good.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I'm just going to mention one fight outside the European spectrum. Yadong Song v. Cody Stamann.
Oh, yes.
Yadong Song. We thought he was a teenager. He isn't actually a teenager. He's about 21. All Twitter was going fucking mad about that, you legends.
Here's Yadong.
But Yadong is fighting Cody Stamann. That is a tough, tough fight. That's the hardest fight he's had since he came in here. Stamann, of course, the man who beat Tom Dukinwa.
Yeah, it's probably...
You will remember.
It's probably fight of the night honours there.
Yeah,
it's
it could be brilliant.
Ones.
Well, the one you mentioned as well, Ricky Simone and Rob Font, that's an incredible fight as well.
Yeah, and Tim Means and Alves.
I think Alves at the height of his career could have given Tim Means a great fight. I just feel like Tim Means is too rough, too...
So I thought Tim Means retired.
Maybe he did, man.
Yeah.
They've
all retired, haven't they? Jesus Christ, I don't know anymore. But listen, it's actually not a bad fight night card. I think it's, as we said there, very sort of name-heavy. And Matt Wyman's going to be in there as well.
Is he?
Yeah. On the card, so
that seems to be a good note to move on to KSW 52 on Saturday night. I'm really excited about this. Scott Askham and Mamed Khalidov. Would this be actually the last fight we see Mamed Khalidov fight in? He likes to announce retirements and then not actually follow through with them. So that's a big, big fight. Also, you have Olympian Damian Janikowski there against Kelecki, two Olympians in the co-main event. But man, I'm not going to lie. one of my favourite prospects on planet Earth, Saladin Parnas, is fighting Ivan Butchinger for the 145 title on this. And I cannot wait for that fight. That is absolutely incredible. If Saladin Parnas beats Ivan Butchinger, as he has with everyone else that has been put in front of him, I don't know what else to say. I've been screaming it from the rooftops for 2 years now. This man is incredible. If he does this, I mean, I don't know if there is a better guy to sign. If you were the UFC, if you're going to go to France next year, is the dude.
You've just cursed him. He's not getting signed. Like, he's not a hope now. Listen, after you saying that.
I'm the agenda setter here. When I say things, it happens. That's the way it goes.
It is going to be interesting. I think, you know, Butchinger, man, we know what that guy can do as
he's
well.
He's a bad motherfucker. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a huge test.
It is a huge test. And listen, KSW delivering the goods again. Should be a solid ale contest on Saturday night. And Callum,
I can't wait for this card.
And Askham is another cracker, yeah.
Scott Askham, if he does this, the biggest win of his career without a doubt, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
easily. And as we said earlier on, you know, we don't know the situation with his contract, but if UFC have any brains and they're looking at him, people are going to be very, very interested to see if Scott Askham in London, if he can overcome the legend that is Khalidov.
He's a different guy now. Like, he's so different. Look.
Way
like,
better.
I mean, it's just, it's an onslaught. Like, as soon as he's in there, it looks like the other person's immediately uncomfortable. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? And why does he keep elbowing me in the face?
I think Askham is one of those guys. And like, I think people
Askham and he'll tell you.
People probably, oh, very good. I think people can...
you don't see how disinterested. No, it wasn't.
That was just dreadful. They're my kind of jokes. You're not allowed to use them.
Disgusted with that.
I am disgusted. It's actually set me off my behind there. I was just saying, Askham's only, what, 32 years of age? He actually looks...
31.
At, 31.
And he starts looks, going to me like, oh, I'm getting old. I'm like, you're younger than me,
he's
man.
He's a fucking whippersnapper. Like, yeah. I hate these twats that say that, right? But
oh, Scott.
Yeah, I call
abuse.
You a twat. You'll do nothing. Right.
Oh, my God.
But
I'm terrified for you.
I think people think he's older than he is. That's what I'm about to say to you there. And I think he's one of these guys to come back to the UFC and make a real statement, because, you know, he has. He's shored up many areas in his game.
Scott Askham v. Darren Till.
Do it. Fuck it. I'd watch it. I'll take it. But listen, yeah, I think the sky's the limit here for him if he beats Khalidov on Saturday in terms of going back towards the UFC and getting that second shot at it.
Absolutely. Two great cards with European interest this weekend. I don't think Bellator are back till December 20th or something.
Yeah, there's a bit of a break.
Cage Warriors obviously done for the year. We have just a few things to get through before we say goodbye to 2019. This weekend, Niall, I watched The Irishman and I went out for a few drinks with my friends. There was a man called Dave Marr playing. He was jumping all over the tables and stuff. It was very strange, but very enjoyable. But I just thought I'd weigh in at The Irishman. I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Nah. Listen, I'm going to try and watch it again, but it just felt like I've seen this whole thing before. It just felt very too familiar.
It actually, when I was watching it, I was like going like, do you know what? Niall had a very similar life to Robert De Niro in The Irishman. That's what I was thinking. Growing up in Georgetown.
Oh, yeah.
You know, private schools. playing on the S.
Such a dick. Back captain, by the way. just get that one in there. But
just like Robert De Niro was the captain of industry for the mob, you were the captain of industry for privileged Southside children.
Get all the chicks back in the day. Not anymore. But
he hit his sexual peak when he was 14.
I wouldn't go that far now, but yeah, all right. It was good. Listen, I will watch it again. I fell asleep watching it, but I was that bored.
Jesus Christ. Yeah,
so.
It's just you people, you millennials. You're so used to, like, you know, quick information.
I'll take that as a compliment.
You can't develop.
Calling me a millennial.
You know, you have short attention spans. The art of storytelling is lost on you people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not. Not
you'd
at all.
You'd rather see Logan Paul getting smashed up in a boxing ring.
Oh, yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean?
I tuned into that. Get the fuck out of here. I'm watching that garbage. But, I'll give it another go. I will, definitely.
100%. I was in the centre the other day, and I got chatted up by a girl who worked in a shoe shop, and I rang a line straight after. I was so happy with myself. Told all my friends. I believe I am reaching the pinnacle of my attractiveness right now.
You sure this isn't for another podcast that you do?
No, this happened. I went in and I bought a pair of shoes, and then she was like chatting away to me, and I was kind of just talking shit. Then she started asking me what I was doing tonight, blah, blah, blah. I was going to knock a few more euros off this for you, blah, blah, blah. And I was
our listeners are going to be very ill after this.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's it. Then I only realized at the very end what was happening, and then I got really awkward. I'm not very good at this chatting up business.
Yeah, I think you probably
missed. She's a whippersnapper as well. Like, that's why I didn't think it was going to happen. I was like, she's...
I find it funny when my mates are... Sorry, she's one of my homies. You're confusing me now here. I find it confusing, sorry, when my mates get shot up. Maybe they find it confusing.
Oh, I was very confused.
Because they can't read the situation. No, she's just being friendly, lads. There's a difference. You didn't get chatted up.
But then I realized, I rang Elaine after and she was like, I told her because I was so happy with myself.
fucking idiot.
You know, rang all my mates, told them, told me ma.
I get chatted up on a daily basis, Petey.
No, you don't.
I do.
This I do. No, you don't.
I have people all around watching me
no,
now.
You don't. you had a particularly busy weekend, right? You were in the newsroom by yourself, and then next of all, the Dublin manager decides to call it a day.
I'd say it was fun.
In a great humour that day.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and then Sunday as well.
Just kept coming.
Like people, you know, our American listeners, Gaelic football here is obviously huge, and Jim Gavin has won 5 in a row for the Dublin team and 6 All-Ireland titles in his tenure. It's big.
Buggers could only dream about that. Like never going to happen. Like,
yeah. So everyone else outside of Dublin was delighted.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, the proverbial shit hit the fan. It was just a crazy day. And then Sunday as well, fucking another managerial sacking in the Premier League. Just a busy weekend of sport, man. Carl Frampton won as well.
Oh, he actually interviewed Jim Gavin the day after he was assigned manager of Dublin for the Gazette. I'll never forget that. And
a very regimented man.
As soon as he did that interview after speaking to me, people were like,
"Oh, he's a chance."
That Peter Carroll interview feels like he's the one. Feels like this guy could go on and win 5 in a row. That's what people were saying. And there it is. That's why you should always come and talk to us on the Eurobash.
No, it was good. It was busy weekend. But listen, you're better off being busy than fucking, you know, scratching your arse, doing nothing. The day goes quicker, and sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not.
It's absolutely. But so this is us clocking off.
It's very Christmassy around, isn't it?
It is. This is a very Christmassy place, this bestseller.
It does, but it feels more with the choirs down on Grafton Street there. We're right in the heart of Dublin.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to feel Christmassy, all right. Did you watch the Late Late Toy Show?
No, I don't watch that garbage.
It's an emotional mess, man. I was crying.
Why do people, why are we so mad about that show?
I know, Lion wants to watch it, I have to watch it. Like, that's
it's
the way it goes.
Absolute. Brain.
It's beautiful. It was he hit me with like 5 sob stories in a row, and I was in bits.
Can't handle it, can't watch it, can't.
I was in blubbering mess.
I was watching The Irishman when that was on.
The which?
Trying to watch The Irishman when that was on.
The Irishman?
Yeah.
Alright. You know, you need to schedule your weekend viewing better than that, you know.
I don't get
must
to watch
TV
much on the weekends.
Is the toy show, my friend.
Nah.
But, also, I was in Maynooth there yesterday in my old college campus. They have all these signs up, like, "I am Maynooth," and different people who've gone to the university. And I'm looking at them all going, these aren't as impressive as me. Where was the call there, Maynooth? I can do one of your signs.
Shocking. Shocking.
Disgrace. I mean,
what was it like?
What do you mean? You don't want to honour someone who covers a sport where people bludgeon each other for a living? Like, I mean, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, that's probably this country. I mean, I don't know. This country, I've just given up with it in many aspects and respects and whatever.
Look, Maynooth, you don't even know. You don't even know. All right? That's all I'm going to say. I'm offended.
It's weird. Like, we don't tend to cover things that are popular. And just, like, are you not supposed to meet the public demand? I don't know. Well, listen, I'm sick of it. So,
look, when they're knocking on my door of my mansion in 20 years' time to fund what's going on this campus that's already forgotten one of its golden sons.
Yeah, see, once you've mixed martial arts in Ireland, you're not good enough, you're not experienced enough. That seems to be the general twist of things. But listen, fuck the regime.
Exactly. There's no better way to leave this episode. Thank you very much to our guests. Thank you very much to Noel McGrath. And thank you very much to all you beautiful people for lending us your ears for an hour to an hour and a half on this beautiful day of the week, whatever day of the week you're listening to it on.
Tuesday.
Thank you so much. Well, some people don't listen to it on Tuesday, you know what I mean? I know people are like, well, I listen to it at 12 o'clock on Thursdays. I'm like, why? It's out on Tuesday. Listen to it on Tuesday. But that's all we got for you. The big kiss. Mwah. We'll see you next week. Cool.